Episode 192, man. Thin line between genius and insanity, man. Hosted by yours truly. OG! Look, man, I ain't got to finish the rest. You know the fuck going on, man. Hey, I know why you here. You know how the fuck I'm here. Thin line between genius and insanity, man. Episode 190, motherfucker, two. On the grind 200, you bitch, you. Let's go ahead and get right into it, man.
Welcome to Raw is
OG!
Hatch, man, you know the fuck that nigga playing with me, man.
DJ, hit me! Damn. Fuck it up. She throwing. Damn. Yes, sir. What's poppin' with y'all? Man, welcome back to another motherfucking episode of the Thin Line Between Genius and Insanity podcast, hosted by yours truly, OG. No, spin that motherfucking block right now.
Wow.
Drop another wow for the bad bitches in the back with the booties.
Wow.
Let them know your boy's always been.
For the bitches, nigga.
The flyest, highest, coolest, smoothest host of them all. OG! Hatch, me the fuck it is, man. What's poppin', chat? Hope you're out there looking good, feeling good, staying safe. It's a whole lot of shit going on in church meditation each and every episode. I'm a shout out to everybody around the world that's tapped and joined the conversation. I truly appreciate all the love, support, man. Keep Bill's empire break by motherfucking me break. It warms my heart each and every time I look at those analytics, man. I see this episode reaching new motherfucking me regions of the motherfucking me world, man. It truly is a humbling motherfucking me feeling. So let's keep the shit going, man. Tell a friend that OG has got a motherfucking me podcast. Let's get this shit going. You know, I want to say shout out to everybody, you know, that's tapping all DSPs, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, yada, 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 yada. Rave and review the show. Fuck with your boy. If you're watching on YouTube at OGH TV, look, I ain't even going to mention me not uploading a video in about 3 weeks. Look.
Wow.
I've been working. I've been tired. Look, just today a nigga fell asleep and barely made the session.
Wow.
Cut me some slack, okay? I'll get to it. Trust me. You know I'm good for it. I got to get that shit to clear up the space anyway to continue recording these motherfucking episodes live. But now we missed a whole lot, man. We missed the episode drop last week, so I do want to apologize to all the friends of the show for that, man. There's a lot of shit going on in the trenches, man. There's a lot of motherfucking me shit, bro. My motherfucking car battery had died. I had shredded at work type shit, trying to get the jump and all that. Couldn't get the motherfucking me jump. The battery was that shot. I had to leave my car at the fucking job.
Wow. Oh,
like, I've told y'all about me, man. If you've been tapped in, you know, since it's day one, if you tapped in quite a long time before this journey, then you would know that I've shared many stories on this podcast. I've talked about, you know, being shot at in broad daylight. I've talked about getting into motherfucking me club fights. I've talked about getting into club fights with niggas and them niggas pulling out the gun. I'm right behind them type shit. I've talked about jumping out of third story windows, trying to get away from the boys. I've talked about all types of these wild ass scenarios. And I was never scared in those moments. What scares me, and I don't have a problem sharing my motherfucking me weakness, what scares me is the unknown. That shit bothers me. If I can't pinpoint the exact outcome of a situation or at least a option scenarios type shit, that shit will motherfucking drive me crazy,
man. Wow.
And me leaving my car up there drove me motherfucking me crazy, bro. I was fucking pacing back and forth in the crib thinking about whether or not I should walk back up there type shit, sleep in the fucking car. It was that fucking crazy. My mom had to talk me off the motherfucking me ledge, bro. It was that motherfucking me wicked. I say all that to say, that led to me pulling an all-nighter. Look, pulling an all-nighter is one thing. I've never been one of those guys who've done that. Even when I was younger, I've never been into that. I'm 28 years old, and my entire life, I've probably pulled three total all-nighters now in my entire motherfucking life. I know niggas who used to do that shit every motherfucking weekend, on the phone, playing the game, doing all that shit. I was never that guy. I was always a sleepy motherfucker. Like, at a certain point in time, I want to go to sleep, bro.
Wow.
Like, ain't shit to do at 4 and 5 o'clock in the motherfucking morning. Ain't shit even on TV. So I was never that type of motherfucking person. But pulling all nighter while you got two jobs?
Wow.
That's fucking crazy, buddy. That's nuts. That is nuts, okay? And that's what I ended up doing, man. That's what I ended up doing that shit. So I woke up at 5:30 on a Thursday. Didn't end up going to sleep again until 2 or 3 in the morning on Saturday.
Wow.
Of course, you all know I record on Saturday, so I have to record early on Saturdays because I also work on Saturday nights. I was too motherfucking me tired to make that motherfucking me recording session. But all in all, I had to get my motherfucking me car fixed. And in the midst of getting my car fixed, I was, you know, so to wrap that story up, yes, no one cares how you had a dead battery. That was not the end of the motherfucking me world. But what happened in the adventure, you know, it happened in the adventure of getting this motherfucking me battery fixed, or this battery replaced, I should say. Some of the wildest thing happened to me. I was invited to a freak off.
Wow. Wow.
You know, I've been covering the Diddy situation, you know what I'm saying, for a few episodes now. You know, it's in depth, giving my personal opinion. You know, talking about how freak offs are wild. How I never would have thought a freak off would be something that was common, something that people, you know, indulged in. Like, I thought that was some Sean Diddy Combs. I thought that was like his personal thing.
Wow.
Like, he lied when he told Cassie that was like their thing.
Wow.
He lied. God damn it. But I'm getting my battery fixed. I get my battery fixed after all going through these wild range of emotions, after being scared, having to leave my car up at the motherfucking me job, after not having no rest, I'm sleepy. I get my battery fixed. I'm leaving out the motherfucking me auto spy at Walmart, and I get stopped by this short man with fucking cornrows.
Wow.
Look, I'm gonna be honest with you. When the man stopped me, look, he called me arrogant. I thought the nigga was gonna compliment me on my drip, bro. I'm
wow.
I thought dude was gonna say, yo, my man's, I like that hoodie. Reason being, I have been getting stopped a lot lately for my motherfucking me hoodie, so I thought dude was gonna dive into that. The nigga stopped me and asked me about my hair. Now, what have I told you guys, you know, on this podcast, on my social media? I've told you motherfuckers for years, I really don't like niggas asking me questions about my hair.
Wow.
And a lot of you motherfuckers are always just like, I was over exaggerating. No, nigga, I was never over exaggerating. See, a nigga coming up to me asking me about my hair always made me look at a nigga a little bit skeptical. Because, nigga, that means you've been looking at me for a little minute. And that means you was having that thought process of whether or not you should come over here and talk to me about my motherfucking me hair. This conversation, y'all, went from a nigga asking me how long I've been growing my fucking hair to ultimately at the end of this motherfucking conversation, the nigga invited me to a goddamn freak off.
Wow.
The nigga invited me to a goddamn club called Encounters. The crazy thing about this club, Encounters, everybody I've even somewhat hinted this story at, they all know about this fucking club Encounters.
Wow.
Everybody got this sheepish fucking grin when I talk about this club Encounters. This nigga come to me talking about, yo, my nigga, I think you'll really like it. My nigga, I got 2 homeboys coming. I got a homegirl that says she want to get fucked by 5 dudes.
Wow.
Wait a minute, buddy. I don't even know you, nigga. I just got my fucking battery changed. Nigga, why are you talking about sex with me, buddy? Guys, this is weird to me, okay? I'm 6'4", 275, 280. Roughly 300 around the holidays. Well, not in the wintertime. Wintertime, I always slim down for some reason. I've never been the guy. I'm so used to being the guy that people look at as intimidating. You know how many times I've been told that I have an intimidating presence? Like, you know how many times when people talk to me, people like start stuttering and shit? You know how many times people just be apologizing to me for like random shit? That's my normal motherfucking day. I can just be chilling and a motherfucker just be like apologizing to me for some shit. I'm used to being that guy. Never really liked being that guy, but when you 6'4", 275, 280, and the rest of these motherfuckers is 5'6", you get kind of used to that. I'm used to motherfucking me going places and everybody's looking at me. It doesn't help that I'm fucking me big, black, and I got long-ass motherfucking me locks. I love it. I love the energy, but I'm used to the negativity that comes with that. I'm not used to this new aura that I'm giving off. I don't know if it's ever since I started the podcast, I started opening up with my story. You know, there's only been a few people who's ever come up to me and told me that they recognize me from my show. So it's not like an overwhelming thing of people coming up to me doing this on some related to the show. It's like ironic that it's like I'm giving off an aura that people are feeling way too motherfucking be comfortable. Strangers are coming up to me, telling me about their sex life. You know what I'm saying? And inviting me to freak offs. It's like, what, niggas think I'm pussy or something?
Wow.
Like, what, niggas think I won't snap the shit out them or something? Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, niggas don't, I don't got St. Louis, nigga, written over my motherfucking face.
Wow.
Like, what the fuck, nigga, do I gotta bring the crib back? Like, do I really gotta go? Do I gotta be on my dead look shit?
Wow.
Do I gotta go on some blue face shit? What makes this, like, you guys, y'all don't understand. The nigga was telling me about this club encounters. It got so deep into, you maybe, you know what? Before I even proceed, is this next shit I'm about to say? Let me go ahead and say this. No homo. No homosexuals, okay? Look, this nigga told, he proceeded to tell me about his first few times going to encounters, about him going to encounters and him not getting no pussy, him looking me up and down, telling me, some, yeah, man, I think you really enjoy it. You guaranteed to get laid. Look,
wow.
I was so uncomfortable. But I'm going to continue going with the conversation. Telling me I'm going to continue to get laid. Telling me how his first four times he didn't get no pussy. Now, look.
Wow.
You got to think how, you got to wonder how I'm looking at this nigga. You telling me about a motherfucking me swingers party that everybody's fucking. You telling me about all this shit. And then you tell me that you ain't getting no pussy the first four times.
Wow.
Brother, I know exactly why you ain't getting no pussy the first four times. He goes on to tell me he thinks he was giving off the wrong energy. Nigga, I can guarantee you giving off the wrong energy. I don't know you from a can of fucking paint. You just stopped me from walking out the fucking auto repair shop telling me about niggas getting fucked in jacuzzis and you not getting your dick hard the first four times you went to encounters.
Wow.
Buddy. Yes, my nigga. You are a strange fuck. This conversation went from you asking me about how long my hair's been growing to want to know what I'm doing tonight because you got a fucking orgy lined up.
Wow.
What the fuck is going on? This is my life now. I didn't ask for this shit. I didn't ask for this shit. All I wanted to do was put out a podcast for my self-therapy to help people who possibly thought like me, looked like me, talked like me. Not for niggas that look like me and talk like me and want to grow long hair like me to come up to me asking me, you know what I'm saying, do I want a doggy style a nigga tag team a bitch?
Wow.
I didn't ask for that, buddy. I did not ask for that. And it's crazy. I'm talking about every fucking body that I've come up to and I told this little story to, they've all said they've been to fucking encounters.
Wow.
I got to be honest with you. As weird as I think bro was, I kind of want to go.
Wow.
I kind of want to go to encounters, man. I kind of want to go to encounters. Look, I'm not saying I want to go there to get no pussy. I ain't saying, I'm not going to say my dick will be coming up my pants. I ain't saying that. I'm not going to go that far. I ain't going to go that far. Like, damn it. I'm not gonna lie, I've always wanted to know where the fuck are those glory holes at. Not saying I would partake, but we all have our kinks. Right? This may be TMI, so if you don't really fuck with this, you can go ahead and fast forward. We all have our categories we search up on porn. I'm gonna be frank with mine. I like big booty white girls, big booty ebonies, cream pies paw. BBW facials, glory hole, hooray. Like, I go
wow.
Crazy with the searches. That's my shit. I know, motherfucker, I was talking to a bitch. Yeah, I try to have this kinky conversation with a chick. And, like, you know, like, I still be, like, corny with my shit. I ain't gonna lie. I don't think I'm as smooth as people, like, perceive me to be. Like, I'm chilling with a chick. We smoking and shit. And I'm trying to, like, take it there. Like, I can't just... I ain't finna just grab the shorty head and put her in my lap type shit. You know, I asked the, you know, so what type of porn are you into? thinking shit's finna go through. All I need is for Shorty to see the bulge in my pants, and my confidence is good. Like, I know we getting it going. I asked Shorty, what kind of porn you into thinking? You know what I'm saying? Like, most Shorty's like, yeah, I like back shots. Oh, you like back shots? Let's try them, baby. Wow. Like, let's do it. Oh, you like cream pies? Oh, say less. Like, let's do it. Oatmeal or hatch? Like, what flavor? Like, let's do it. Like, I be on that shit. Like, I be on that. When I asked Shorty, she said, I like to see trans bitches fuck regular girls.
Wow.
I said, so baby, what I need you to do is go ahead and exit. I need you to leave. Just no, what, huh? But we all said, so we all have our categories. And I've always been interested in glory hole. If you want to know why, go on porn. No, what is it? Pornhub or XNXX, whatever site you choose. Look for Juicy Tea. Glory hole.
Wow.
Come back and thank me later. You'll know why. I've always wanted to know who the fuck was at the fucking glory hole spots. What possessed the motherfucker to go to the glory hole spot? So I'm interested in going. I'm interested in motherfucking me going. But this is my life. My life went from getting my battery dying, me being stranded at work, to me getting my fucking battery fixed. Me motherfucking me oversleeping for the pod to me motherfucking me getting invited to a motherfucking me freak off. And let me go, hey, you may be sitting there wondering, Hatch, why the fuck was you sitting there talking to this nigga for about 15, 20 minutes, getting all the information about these freak offs?
Wow.
Interesting going to these goddamn freak offs. Look, man. It was for content. I sacrificed it all for content. I'ma go. I may have given dude my information. I may have said, yo, bro, here's my number type shit. Like, the next time you got a fat booty bitch trying to get nailed here type shit. I may have done it. Maybe. I can't confirm or motherfucking me mind, man. I can't. I really motherfucking can't, man. But moving on, man. Let's get to this nigga Draymond Green, man. You know, the notorious motherfucking me Draymond, man. Look, I gotta be honest. I've had enough of Draymond Green. I fuck with Draymond Green on the court and off the court. I think his media presence is well needed. I love his mindset, the way he talks about the game of basketball. I love that shit. I've understood and recognized his importance to that franchise and that team and to Steph Curry's career fucking a long time ago. I was a nigga getting laughed out of gyms when I was talking about how motherfucking if you take Draymond Green off the Warriors, the niggas ain't shit. I was a nigga getting laughed at the gym saying that shit back in fucking 2017-18. I was a nigga getting that heat. All for niggas to turn around 2023 to be like, damn, that nigga is the second most important player on the goddamn Warriors. But I've had enough of Draymond Green, bro. I can honestly sit here and say, if I never seen Draymond Green play the game of basketball again, I wouldn't give a fuck, bro. That's the real
wow.
Shit. I didn't sit all motherfucking me day. He's not playing basketball, man. He's not playing basketball. You see, when niggas was on top of the world, and that little light-skinned motherfucker and was out there shooting all them threes, and you got that other light-skinned motherfucker shooting all them threes, and you got that alopecia-having motherfucker come out there, slim reaper-ass nigga, come over there hitting all them middies. You had Iggy, you had Barbosa, you know what I'm saying? You had all these, you had Harrison Barnes. You had all this motherfucking me talent around. You had the team of the motherfucking me century. You ain't see all this shit, man. You only seen these moments of him kicking niggas in the nuts, him hitting niggas in the nuts, you know what I'm saying? Stepping on niggas in their chest, him punching niggas, knocking them out. You only seen him do all this shit when shit was looking kind of glee for the motherfucking me Warriors. You know how niggas was always saying, like, if Steph Curry wasn't playing the game, you can damn near guarantee that Draymond Green to get ejected. That's damn near fact, my nigga. The proof is in the stats, my nigga. Draymond been on fuck shit for a long motherfucking me time, dog. Draymond Green is an emotional-ass little boy, man. There's no game. He's not playing basketball. You can't be out there hitting niggas, spinning back fists and niggas, stepping on niggas. You can't be doing that shit, bro. You can't be doing that shit. And in all honesty, this is why I be saying Adam Silver is not a motherfucking me great commissioner. Do you niggas really think Draymond Green would be around right now if motherfucking me David Stern to be doing this shit? Do you really think that? Have you heard Kenyon Martin? When Kenyon Martin said, nigga, after he swung on T-Mac, nigga, David Stern called him in the office and said, nigga, you do any, there won't be a place in the league for you to do some more shit like that. Kenyon Martin ain't put hands on another nigga ever again. Draymond Green been getting away without no fucking real punishment for a long fucking time, bro. He been in the league for a long time doing this fuck shit. And like I said, I fuck with dude. But I've always acknowledged the fuck shit he be doing. The same way I fuck with CP3. But I acknowledge he a dirty ass motherfucking me player. If I think Chris Paul is dirty, what the fuck do you think I think Draymond Green is? There is no place in the league for this shit, bro. You kind of officially lost me after you knocked out Jordan Poole. Like, as much as I don't fuck with Jordan Poole, I've never believed in motherfucking me niggas knocking out they motherfucking me teammates. Have I seen teammates fight? Absolutely. Have I seen teammates fight each other to the point where niggas is knocked out? Fuck no.
Wow.
I've never seen that. Do you see him last night when he knocked that, when he spinning back fist, hit Yusuf Nurkic? How nobody on this bench came to his aid? How niggas on this bench threw up their hands like, what the fuck is you doing? Did you see that? At what point in time as a grown-ass man do you not realize how many times you fucked up? At what point in time as a grown-ass man do you stop being so emotional that when niggas is playing regular fucking defense on you and you can't get the positioning that you want? First of fucking all, you trying to post up on the fuck... You first of all, Draymond Green posting up on the low block alone? Fuck no, bitch ass. What are you doing? We not feeding you. You posting up on the goddamn three-point line looking fucking goofy. You flopping, now you spinning back fist head niggas in the fucking mouth. There is no place in the league for this shit. Especially a fucking six games after you motherfucking me just fucking rear naked chokehold a nigga on the court. For absolutely no fucking reason. See, everybody was trying to give a nigga the fucking excuse of, oh, Rudy Gobert had put his hands on Klay Thompson. Everybody fucking know good and goddamn well Rudy Gobert didn't. He wasn't meaning no harm to fucking Klay Thompson. He was getting Klay Thompson ass about the situation. But everybody just wanted to point to that to give Draymond Green the motherfucking me pass. See, when you give a nigga 5 games for that shit, what the fuck is 5 games? That's a motherfucking me week of basketball, my nigga. That's a week of basketball law for an aging motherfucking me player. He needs it. He would gracefully accept that motherfucking me week off with his family. You slap a nigga on the wrist, and what did I tell y'all a few episodes ago? You hope when niggas get slaps on the wrist that they learn from their mistakes and don't keep pushing the motherfucking me envelope. When I was mentioning those names of those people, I should have mentioned Draymond Green. Draymond Green has been a habitual line stepper. Draymond Green has been getting slaps on the wrist his entire motherfucking career, man. And he's been progressing. He's been progressing in the motherfucking me heights of danger. He's putting other motherfucking me players in the association in. It's been progressing, my nigga. And it's been sillier and sillier shit that he's been fucking reacting to. A nigga grabbed his leg, he A-Town stumped the nigga. A nigga fucking touched his teammate, he start choking the nigga. He walk up in a nigga face, his teammate push him out the face, he knocked the nigga out. Now the motherfucking me put a nigga hand checking you on the 3-point line, you turn around, you fucking cold cock him. If his fucking hand was, look. I remember what it was like watching basketball and how the motherfucking NBA covered Meta World Peace.
Wow.
I remember how they covered Ron Artest, my nigga. They treated Ron Artest like a fucking mental patient, my nigga. And granted, he was open about seeing a therapist and shit like that. But they treated Ron Artest like a fucking mental patient, my nigga. If you finna sit here and tell me that because fucking Ron Artest did the Malice in the Palace, what Ron Artest did, you know, since the James Harden situation, if you finna sit here and tell me that Ron Artest deserved all that motherfucking me suspension time, and you finna keep slapping Draymond Green ass on the wrist for kicking niggas in the nuts, for stepping on niggas, knocking niggas the fuck out. I ain't never heard of Ron Artest knocking a nigga out. They talking about how Draymond Green second all time and fucking ejections behind Rasheed Wallace. Rasheed Wallace ain't never been like this. Anytime Rasheed Wallace got in trouble or ejected, it was because he was going off on the refs. You ain't never heard about Rasheed Wallace knocking nobody out. You ain't never heard about Rasheed Wallace fighting none of his teammates, kicking nobody, slapping nobody, fucking choking nobody. You've never heard this about no other nigga in NBA history. The closest you will get to this nigga saying these fucking telltale stories about Charles Oakley roughing up his own fucking teammates. Wow. That's the closest you will get. That's the closest you will fucking get. You've never heard no shit like this, dog. And it all comes down to, are you more of a problem than you are a motherfucking me solution? To a motherfucking, how big of a star is Draymond Green to override this? He's not big enough to override this. I'm sorry. If Draymond Green never played basketball again, nobody would be batting a fucking eye. Nobody would. That alone should have that nigga in fear of his motherfucking me job. The reason he's not in fear of his job is he's never been even fucking punished enough to even have that fucking, that thought cross his mind, dog. If I can sit here and say Russell Westbrook ass was damn near out the league, how can I sit here and not say that about Draymond Green, who's out there fucking physically assaulting niggas? What about that is not assault? What about that is not assault? If we was at motherfucking me at the YMCA, and a nigga just spinning cold hard, spinning back fist, niggas would be getting locked up for assault. Would they not? I'm just, at a certain point in time, bro, the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time of all these years, it's like, okay, that's Draymond. But when you have so many incidents and they're starting to occur, you know what I'm saying, on a consistent basis, come on, man. At a certain point in time, enough is enough. At a certain point in time, it's time for a nigga to go sit down. At a certain point in time, 5 games ain't shit. You got everybody talking about if he gets suspended for 10 to 15 games, it'll cost him like $2 million or something, like that $2 million. It shouldn't be about how much money it'll cost Draymond Green. It's not about that no more. My nigga, you are a repeat offender. You are a habitual line stepper. You don't even show fucking sympathy or empathy after you fucking do these acts. It's only smart for a nigga to get after a nigga do some fucked up shit. It's only smart for that nigga to start copping pleas. It's only the smart thing to do. You the goofy ass nigga that want to say you standing on business. That follows you, nigga. And now that you ain't performing the way you perform, the team ain't looking as good. We all see the fucking writing on the wall. You can't control your emotions enough to you ain't out there assaulting niggas. I'm just saying, bro. I remember how they covered Ron Artest, man. I remember the shit. I remember that shit. And if any of you niggas is old enough to remember how they talked about that nigga when he fucking hit James Harden with the elbow, granted, I'm a Laker fan. I thought the shit was actually an accident. But if you go back and you think about it and you see how they fucking was talking about Ron Artest when he was quote unquote, when he could possibly accidentally hit a nigga, and you got fucking clear evidence of Draymond Green purposely doing shit, I'm just saying, bro. It's a total motherfucker. It's a total different way they covering this shit. And it's a total different commissioner. It's a total different way the media's covering this shit. And I think Draymond Green is very motherfucking me fortunate of those things. Because if Draymond Green was actually getting covered the way he actually should be getting covered, or getting covered the way Ron or Tess were getting covered, whether you think it's right or wrong, all this motherfucking me post-career, shit he got lined up with TNT, the reputation, the high basketball IQ, none of that shit would be in the forefront of conversation, my nigga. All that shit would be a fucking afterthought. It'd be this nigga's off, he's off the hinges. And you know what's fucked up? That's finally at play with this nigga. It took this for niggas to really start saying, yo, this nigga had a problem, man. This is the first time you've ever heard niggas actually start loosely saying, Draymond Green got a problem. Well, and to be quite honest with you, that should have been the fucking conversation about Draymond Green. If I can sit here and openly admit that I got mental problems, that I got motherfucking anxiety problems, depression, you know what I'm saying, mood swings. If I can sit here and openly admit that shit to fucking strangers on the platform, I can sit here and tell you, I can identify a nigga that share those same goddamn me demons, my nigga.
Wow.
I can identify them niggas like it's nothing. It's like looking in the goddamn mirror. That nigga got issues, bro. Ain't nothing wrong with having issues. But what's wrong with what the problem is, when you let those issues spill over into other people, you ain't hearing no stories about me walking around slapping and elbowing and fucking niggas the fuck up if they step on my motherfucking shoes or some shit, if I don't get my way. You know how many times I get pissed off? I'm just saying, man. At this point in time, I've had enough of Draymond Green. I'm curious to see if the NBA has had enough of Draymond Green. What would the suspension be? I say at least 20 games. My nigga. I've seen niggas get suspended for far less, bro. How many games did Carmelo Anthony get when he fucking hit that nigga? What's that nigga named Jeffries? When they had that fight, when it was the Nuggets versus the Knicks, they had that fight. How many games do niggas get suspended for that? This is the fucking, this is the same as a motherfucking me fight. You just spin that back fist to the nigga and drop him, my nigga. I don't give a fuck what you talking about. I know what the fuck I just saw. He didn't do shit. And you just knocked this nigga down. You then knocked him the fuck out. Imagine if that was Jordan Poole. Now, we know you knocked Jordan Poole out, who's a 6'6 guard. You just fucking dropped a 7-footer with a back fist, nigga. Fuck your intent. I know what I just seen. Enough's enough. Lay the motherfucker me hammered down on this nigga, bro. This nigga, he clearly think he can't get touched. He clearly think he can't get motherfucking me touched to let this behavior continue. Especially, nigga, 6 games after you just came back from suspension. But you got fucking John Morant sitting at home. Come on, man. This shit getting motherfucking me ridiculous, dog. It truly motherfucking is, man. Real talk. But moving on, man. You know, I want to play a clip for y'all. I want to play this clip for y'all, and I want y'all to understand why I'm playing this clip. And I want y'all to take this in before I even give my piece. Go ahead and play the clip.
Not a lot about him. My youngest son got a dick now. I didn't know that. I didn't know he had a dick. They say you blink and you miss it. It's true. I didn't know he had a dick. I was sitting on the edge of my bed, and he ran by from the bathroom to his, I guess he forgot his towel or whatever, and I was like, the fuck was that? Like,
it blew
my mind. That's a dick. What? That's a dick that need a job.
Wow.
Can't be walking around with all that dick and no income. That's disrespectful.
Wow.
He used to have a pee-pee. Yeah, last time I saw it, it was a pee-pee. Change the diaper, you play rhythm guitar on the pee-pee. Ding, 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 ding.
Wow.
Little parents in here, that's the best part about having a baby boy. Ding, not a lot of bottles.
Wow. 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 Wow.
You know, there's so much wrong with that clip. I don't know who that comedian lady was. I wish I knew her name. I wish I knew her fucking name. I came across that clip on Twitter or X, whatever the fuck you want to call it now. And that sparked so much in my mind. You know what's crazy about that? You know, it's fucked. Of course she's black. I hate that she's black. But you know what's so fucked up and what's so true about black women? For black women to have to get people to listen to them, 9 times out of 10, they have to be sexualizing something.
Wow.
Ain't that fucked up? Ain't that annoying to y'all women? As annoying as it is to us men, ain't it more annoying to y'all fucking women? This is the problem when a woman has to fucking sexualize every fucking thing to get a fucking view, to get a fucking like, to get a fucking hee-hee, to get a fucking ha-ha. This is the fucking problem. Bitch, what the fuck are you talking about? What the fuck are you doing getting on fucking stage cracking jokes about your son's dick?
Wow.
It was a pee-pee, now it's a dick. With all that dick, he need a job.
Wow.
What the fuck are you talking about? What the fuck is the difference from that and fucking Blueface mama arguing with Blueface about who dick bigger between Blueface and her fucking now husband? What the fuck is the difference, ho? And then you got the crowd laughing. What if a man was sitting up? I don't even want to finish the goddamn sentence. But what if a man was sitting up there doing that shit about his fucking daughter's pussy? What about that?
You what? You got dildos? Yeah, you need to pay some bills. Then
what the fuck are you talking about, man? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? You talking about your son was a little boy, used to flick his dick like a guitar string. What
the
fuck are you talking about? That's the problem when you see fucking black women. The only way they can get a fucking hee-hee-ha-ha, a fucking laugh around, a fucking sing-along to their motherfucking me song, a motherfucking me acknowledgement of any fucking talent. It has to be sexual. That's why we say none of these bitches got fucking talent now.
Wow.
That's why we say you bitches ain't got fucking talent. And I'm taking it there, man. Fuck that shit. The gloves is off. That's why we say you bitches ain't got no fucking talent. Because you don't really got no talent. We not looking at you for your talent. What? You not really funny. You not really funny. And look, you may call me a hypocrite. I don't give a fuck. When I was a child, my favorite female comedian was Samoa. It wasn't because I thought Samoa was funny. It's because I wanted to fuck, nigga. What are you talking about? Yeah, tell all them nasty jokes. In my mind, when I see this nasty bitch in life, I'm fucking. That's what I thought growing up. Now, of course, I had to grow up and get out that nasty-ass mindset. But that's what I thought as a motherfucking legit, nigga. So when you bitches is telling these nasty, freaky jokes, we don't really see your talent. Bitch, we want to hear that freaky shit. Talk nasty. But that's why we say y'all ain't got no fucking talent. When you see chicks, when you see your Ice Spice, when you see chicks with just fat asses bending over, twerking, and a beat going on behind them, like, damn, she in the mood. Like, damn, she in the... We don't think you fucking talented, baby. We want to fuck you. That ass is moving nice. That's what the fucking media, that's what the masses is thinking. But that's what's fucked up about fucking women, bro. That they gotta fucking sexualize everything. Every fucking thing. And look, I'm not here to tell bitches to get a new hustle. I ain't here to do that. Selling pussy was the first job known to motherfucking me, man. But this is why, man. This is what you get. This is what you get from that. The apple don't fall too far from the fucking tree, nigga. This is what you get when you gotta fucking sexualize everything. This bitch was sexualizing her parenthood.
Wow.
What
are you talking? What? You getting on motherfucking me stage talking about how big your son dick is? A dick like that need to work a 9-to-5? What are you talking about, ho? And you got all them people in the crowd laughing at that shit. That's funny to y'all. I was just talking about on this platform a few episodes ago, man. About how you got the women teachers who, you know what I'm saying, they like how they be sleeping with motherfucking these students and shit. And like they get like a slap on the wrist type shit. But if a motherfucking me male teacher do that same shit, that nigga's going down. They fuck around and get that nigga the needle. It's fucking me riots and shit outside that nigga out of a front yard, pitchforks and shit. It was just another story about a teacher. It was another story about this teacher, and she was fucking her high school student. He was 18 years old. He was in high school. And even the way that they was talking about, you seen academics posted. And he did, you know, on Instagram, you can post like multiple pictures. You got, you know, slide them and type shit. He did that. And usually when they do that, you know, they post like paragraphs with newsletters and stuff covering the case and stuff like that. When academics did this, he didn't do that this time. What he did, he posted the ladies, the teacher's selfies. And he was basically highlighting how much she was a bad bitch.
Wow.
Highlighting how much the teacher was a bad bitch instead of highlighting she was misusing her goddamn authority and fucking on these goddamn kids, man. Now the nigga's 18, he's 18. He's a goddamn adult, but he's still in fucking high school. If you think that motherfucker's attractive, you can't wait 8-9 more months, man. Now, granted, you have to face the motherfucking me battle of whether or not you groomed the motherfucker, but wouldn't you much rather want to face that head on than face a motherfucking me rape, than face a motherfucking me misuse of goddamn me power? There's no way a motherfucking say they consent to that if you got the authority of their motherfucking me education. But you ain't even thinking about that. Women, it's fucked up. It's not fair. As a man, I sympathize with the women who actually do have talent, who hate that they have to sexualize their things to get by. Granted, do I love the hoes? Absolutely.
Wow.
I love that freaky shit. I love it. But I appreciate the women who don't fall for that trap. That easy motherfucking me trap, that pyramid scheme, that get rich quick scheme. I fucking appreciate the women who don't do that shit. Because this is what you get. This is what you fucking get when you gotta fucking sexualize everything just to be fucking heard. It's sick, bitch, man. I can't believe this shit, bro. I can't believe it. It's not even about it being embarrassing for the child. This is about how can you as a fucking adult, as a grown ass motherfucking adult, as a parent, as a motherfucker with common sense, as a motherfucker with morals who knows right from wrong, how can you even look at your child's privates? Look, man, I don't know if it's because, look, I don't know, maybe my mind is fucked up because I literally wake up every morning at 5:30 in the morning. And the first thing I do is I turn on YouTube on my phone and I click on Steve Wilkos episodes. That's what I do to start my days every motherfucking morning. I don't know if my mind is fucked up from that and hearing all the stories about how people was, you know, sexualizing and raping and touching on all these little kids and shit. And I don't know if it's because I know the stories from my personal family. If I don't know it's because of my personal stories about me being a victim of sexual assault, I don't know if it's because of all that shit that just fucks my mind up anytime I hear a motherfucker joke about some shit about like that. It's even related to some shit like that. I don't understand how a fucking mother can get on stage and crack jokes about the size of their fucking son, their child's penis.
Wow.
I don't give a fuck how old that child can be. 18. Your child can be 18 and a fucking middle linebacker
and they can be looking like Ray Lewis in that month. I don't give a fuck. How can you, as a fucking parent, as a mother, even feel comfortable even talking about your child's penis?
Wow. Wow. Wow.
But moving on, man. Let's get into Kodak Black, man. You know, Kodak Black. You know, man, this may be my last time talking about Kodak Black. I'm going to be honest with you, man. Kodak Black is making news right now. You know, what, a week ago, week or two ago, Kodak Black got arrested for having possession of cocaine, crack, whatever the fuck it was. I didn't talk about it because, quite honestly, that wasn't news to me. Me hearing about Kodak Black getting arrested isn't news. Me hearing about Kodak Black getting arrested and eating possession of some drugs or some narcotics or some pills isn't fucking news to me. I came on this platform and told y'all time and time again, that man is a functioning fucking dope head, man. I don't give a fuck if it was actual crack. I don't give a fuck if it was just fucking pills that, you know what I'm saying, some narcotics type shit. I don't give a fuck what it is. That nigga's a base head, bro. I don't give a fuck how functioning he is. We know functioning alcoholics. I know niggas who be functioning all the time and got some fucking demons that they do behind closed doors that really have fucked people up. This nigga done admitted plenty of times and plenty of songs he done took fake perks, he done did meth, he done did all that shit. He done did crack, he done did all that shit. But the reason why I bring Kodak Black up on today is because Kodak Black came out and he was perplexed. He was befuddled. He was pissed off that everybody was saying he was on crack. And he said he ain't on no motherfucking crack. He on meth.
Wow.
He was mad at us for saying, nigga, he was on crack when he was saying, no, nigga, I ain't on that shit. If I was on crack, I would have been dead. I'm on meth. That nigga's on meth. Now, I gotta be honest with y'all. I don't know. Ain't Kodak Black still having to submit drug tests? Because I know he keep failing the fucking drug test at least every fucking 3 months. For Nita to just openly come out and say he take meth. Y'all niggas got me fucked up. I ain't on no motherfucking crack. I'm on some motherfucking meth.
Wow.
Like, that's better. You on some fent. Like, that's better. That's where we at in today's society, bro. Or a nigga be a fucking base head and be sitting here getting mad at motherfuckers for misidentifying the drug they use. He ain't like this nigga's gonna say, nigga, I just smoke weed. He wasn't finna say that. I just smoke weed, nigga. Reggie at that. No. This nigga said, nigga, I do meth. Like, that's better. And you know the reason why it ain't gonna change no time soon? It's because where else did I just see Kodak Black at yesterday, 2 days ago, with videos going viral? Him on stage with Kanye West, Lil Durk, you know what I'm saying? Offset, all them niggas at the little vultures listening, whatever the fuck it was. He got a verse on Kanye's new album coming out. He on that motherfucker throwing up Z's, Black and Miles in both ears, and one he's smoking on too. That's why the shit won't change, because there's no reason for it to change. He can go get in the booth with a billionaire anytime. Niggas gonna call him and put money in his pocket. He just got $1 million cash from 6ix9ine, nigga, for a fucking verse.
Wow.
Ain't no telling no fucking bass head he need to change his fucking life when he got millions flowing in like that. At a certain point in time, us as the motherfucking consumers of this music, man, I've never been the person to separate the artist from the artist. I've never been that person. It's all the same to me. For me to truly appreciate the art, I gotta fucking respect the artist. I have to. I have to. I have to. That's the only way I can truly appreciate the art. If I know you a sick bastard, if I know you a fucking fiend, if I know you a fucking basehead, I can't sit here and consume the music you fucking talking about popping fake perks. I don't even take perks. I can't relate to this shit. I can't relate to this shit. And I can't sit here and fucking enable and add to the motherfucking me aid of a motherfucking me throwing a life away. How many people? How many? Let's real talk. Let's talk about it. Fuck it. Thin line between genius and insanity, man. Episode 192, nigga. We get straight to it. How many of us would be motherfucking me shocked, surprised, or sad? Oh, shocked, surprised, or sad. The three motherfucking S's. How many of us would be those things if Kodak Black, we got the untimely news of Kodak Black's passing due to an overdose? You know, a shootout, some other tragic shit. But if it's due to anything drug related, how many of us would be shocked, surprised, or sad about this shit going down? And I'm not wishing, I even hate to even put that in the airwaves. Let's keep it a beam, man. It's the same shit like when I was growing up and Wayne was having all those seizures and shit from sipping the lean. I was never surprised, like, if I would have got that news that, oh, shit, we wasn't getting a Carter 7, a Carter 19. I wouldn't have been surprised, my nigga. You grant we hope, I'm glad it's not that way, but when you know what these niggas is putting in their bodies, when they telling you what they putting in their bodies, come on, man. I don't look at these niggas no different than I look at the niggas that's out there panhandling on the motherfucking highway intersection. You ever seen them niggas? Bro, it's a nigga, bro, every fucking day. When I get off the highway, it's a nigga. He damn near on the highway asking for quarters. That's how high this nigga is. I don't look at them niggas no different, man. But that's the reason why I won't transfer Kodak Black, because he can go chill with Kanye. He can go be on stage with all these other prominent artists. He can go get $1 million for a verse. He can go get this money, this life-changing money. But we're going to sit back and watch that nigga self-destruct like it ain't fucking nothing. We're going to continue to do it. Because ain't nobody truly give a fuck about Kodak Black. If they did, they would have been trying to get that nigga some help. The fucked up part is the niggas who do try to get the nigga some help, he end up trying to go off on, i.e. Ray J. It's fucked up, man. It's a wicked world we truly live in, man. It truly motherfucking is. But all right, moving on. It's getting a Takeoff real fast. You know, Takeoff passed away. Rest in peace to Takeoff. You know, Takeoff was being accused of a sexual assault that happened a few years back, man. The woman who accused Takeoff of the sexual assault, you know, she don't give a fuck that Takeoff is dead. She won't take off mama to take his place in the motherfucking me trial.
Wow.
I gotta be honest with you. I ain't never heard of no shit like that. You mean to tell me somebody can be accused of something or have to have a case against them, and when they pass away, you can get their parents or they next of kin to fucking replace them in the case?
Wow.
Ain't no fucking way that's possible, bro. You know, first of all, bitch, you can't be that mad. You ain't that mad. You ain't that mad. I don't give a fuck. You ain't that mad. It ain't nothing somebody could do to you. There's nothing that somebody could do to you to where you would want them, after they pass away, their innocent family member to take their place in the case.
Wow.
Unless you finna sit here and tell me that him and his mama was aiding in the bed and that shit, she knew about it, or she had fucking, she was in on the shit. Unless you finna tell me that shit, there's no fucking way you can sit here and justify wanting Takeoff's mama to take his place in the goddamn case.
Wow.
What can a motherfucker do to you that even after their motherfucking me death, you would want that to happen? What can a motherfucker do to you? Usually when somebody passes away, that's the weight lifted off a motherfucker's shoulders. And this ain't been proven. This ain't been none of that. A lot of people don't even know about this shit. But this ain't been proven. And when you hear the story about, well, not the story, when you hear about how Takeoff lost his life, how tragic that was, how motherfucking me gut rich that truly was, if you were a victim of you, wouldn't you jump and join and celebrate for that? How is that not enough? You want this nigga's mother to stand on trial for something you're saying her son did? Bitch, you're crazy. Like for real shit. If I'm Takeoff's brother, sister, like if I'm his brother, if I'm his cousin, his uncle, bitch, we got beef now. Cause now you just being a vindictive motherfucker. Now you truly being a vindictive motherfucker. And I'm not trying to sit here and say whether or not he did this or not. That hasn't been proven. That case is over with, baby. That shit is over. It's sad to say, but it's over with. You didn't get your day in court. As a victim, if you are truly a victim, you deserve your day in court if that's truly what you want. But you're not getting a day in court. That nigga's dead. Like I said, more than like most people would take that victory. If that person truly did that to you, you would take that victory head on knowing that your predator is not out there living lavish anymore. But your vindictive ass want to pull on them heartstrings and pull on that trauma of that family, of that mother who lost her child and have her stand trial for some quote-unquote bullshit. Excuse my language. Some real talk bullshit. Ain't no motherfucking me sex. Ain't no fucking, bitch, if you don't get the fuck out of my face with this bullshit, ain't no fucking trial, ain't no case. Closed case, file 13. We sorry, ma'am. Have a nice fucking day. Don't have that man, mama, stand for, man, bitch. That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, when you successful, man, it's tough, bro. Motherfuckers will do anything and everything for that dollar. They'll do anything and everything for that motherfucking dollar. You can't tell me if this was a regular Joe Schmo ass nigga that after his death, that a motherfucker be trying to get their mama to fucking be on the case. Because you know that Takeoff estate got hella fucking money. I wouldn't be surprised if the goddamn civil suit filed after this shit, man. And that's sickening, though. It truly is sickening. That truly is motherfucking sickening, man. But I ain't even surprised, man. These hoes will find the motherfucking way. They truly do. Before I get up out of here, man, I want to say this. You know, in the middle of takes, I hopped on X, you know what I'm saying? And, I came across the news that Draymond Green has been suspended indefinitely. It goes hand in hand with what I was saying earlier on in the episode, that there is no place in the league for that. This man has a history of assaulting people. That was assault. I don't give a fuck what nobody says. That was assault. Don't tell me shit about intent has never mattered ever. Ever in the world has intent ever fucking mattered. Ever. Ever. So I don't give a fuck about Draymond Green's intent. I know what my eyes seen. I know what the fuck Yusuf Nurkic said. I know your history. You have no more benefit of the doubt. He's been slapped on the wrist for a long motherfucking time, man. And to be completely honest with you, you had to suspend Draymond Green for a lengthy amount of time because that boy is about to come back. When I say that boy, I mean Ja.
Wow.
Ja's about to come back real motherfucking soon. And you gave Ja 25 games for some shit that had nothing to do with basketball. That had nothing to do with basketball. It's time to get Draymond Green ass up out of here, man. I say at least 20 games. The simple fact they said indefinitely, I can see the rest of the season, bro. Like I told you, if I'd never seen Draymond Green play another game of basketball, I wouldn't give a fuck. I wouldn't be missing out. It ain't like Draymond Green provide highlights that niggas go to work and kids go to school talking about. Hell no. Every screen that Draymond Green set, nigga Kevon Looney can set. Every pass that Draymond Green can make, Chris Paul can make that same pass, brother. Don't let Kuminga take a jump. The game will be A-OK without Draymond Green. Get that man his money, his little severance. Pay him over some time. Hey, no team just re-sign his ass. He be all right. But knowing that the league suspended him indefinitely is a nod to Adam Silver taking the right stand. This is the first time I can actually say that. I do want to hold my horses just because until we find out exactly how long he's suspended, I'll hold comments until then. But to be suspended indefinitely, man, without pay, it's going to hit that man pockets. And that's going to force that man to go get the help he truly motherfucking me needs. Because the same thing I said with Kodak Black, Draymond Green knocked out Jordan Poole, bro. Draymond Green knocked out Jordan Poole. Draymond Green, A-Town stumped Sabonis' chest last year. What was he rewarded with? He was rewarded with a $100 million contract.
Wow.
I'm not sitting there saying whether or not the nigga deserved $100 million or not. What I'm saying is the nigga violated twice last year. The nigga started the season off knocking his teammate out. The nigga damn near ended the season stomping niggas the fuck out. And you reward the nigga with a $100 million contract. No fucking wonder that we're not even in, through with the first quarter of the damn next season. He already damn near choked the nigga out and fucking backfisted the nigga. It ain't no fucking surprise, nigga. He think he 200 million now.
Wow.
He doing this for Steph. he think he's standing on business. But we shall see, man. Like I said, that man coming back, Ja coming back. You got Ja ass in court for the whole shit against the little 17-year-old boy that we talked about on the podcast a few months ago. Like I said, Ja Morant gotta be the silliest shit I've ever seen in my life, man. Like, Ja Morant is a straight, real nigga. When I say real nigga, I'm not talking about, you know what I'm saying, the quality of a man. I'm talking about an actual nigga. Like, this ain't no facade. No, this is actually him. This is him. If you've seen any clips of how this nigga's talking in court, this is Ja Morant. This is a Carolina nigga. This, you know how like Zion, they both some Carolina niggas, right? They play on the same AAU team. You can tell Zion Williamson was like in a nice home, you know what I'm saying? Around, he went to a nice little school, you know, he been getting paid for his talents for a long motherfucking me time. Niggas knew Zion was going to be Zion. And you can also tell that other nigga on the AAU team, yeah, he could hoop. But niggas ain't really think he was going to be shit. So he was in the hood. And you can tell Ja Morant is a hood fucking baby for real. But like all that shit, like I said, I said maybe he thought, you know what I'm saying, he was guilt, you know, some survivor's guilt. Nah, man, fuck all that. Ja Morant is a hood fucking baby, man. These clips in court, how this nigga's talking in court, lady asked this nigga, his diamonds, where he looked at that bitch and said, well, I am a millionaire, ain't I? That nigga and that motherfucker squaring up. He and them, like, Ja Morant, man, that's my favorite fucking player in the league. Bro. It's stamped. I'm sorry. I'm tapped into the redemption story. I'm tapped the fuck in, man. Ja Morant is a real ass nigga. This nigga different, dog. This nigga's in court right now. Imagine the time, like think about the timetable for Ja Morant real fast. Dude been suspended for a little minute. Right before dude finna come back to the NBA, his ass is in court for fucking having a fight with a 17-year-old little boy.
Wow.
This is what Ja Morant is going through, man. All Ja Morant shit is off the court. The whole time, this nigga's on the court straight beat niggas the fuck up. Like, Ja, if you truly wanted to beat a nigga the fuck up, you could have did that shit on national television, bro, in front of millions and only got like a 2-game suspension. Y'all ass is in court right now, man. But like they said, man, the weird thing about this whole case, which is I'm surprised it just didn't get settled outside the motherfucking me, outside the courts. Like, even if Ja didn't think he did some wild shit wrong, I'm surprised he didn't just settle with the little dude, get that nigga at least, you know what I'm saying, 50, 75 bands or something like that. Maybe even 100. Nigga, what's 100,000 to Ja Morant right now? Because I'm pretty sure the fucking little boy is suing that nigga for at least $1 million or something like that. And they say Ja Morant's story has never changed. They say the fucking little dude and his fucking parents and his and the prosecutors has been changing the story and adding details to the story ever since the shit started. So And so it'll be interesting to see how that shit plays out, man. It truly motherfucking is. But I think that's all we got, man. Let me just run through the docket real fast. We got through me getting invited to a goddamn freak off. We talked about Draymond Green, assaulting Yusuf Nurkic. We talked about a woman's really isn't gaining an audience if she isn't referencing sex. We talked about Kodak Black being offended. We called him a crackhead when it's really just meth. Talked about Takeoff Mama possibly fighting a charge for her son. talked about Ja Morant. We talked about, oh, you know what? Let me say this real fast about Offset. You know, this shit is crazy. You got Blueface talking about Offset, fuck Rashawn and shit like that. Now you got Cardi B coming out saying that she been single for a minute, her and Offset not together. Look, I feel bad for Offset. I'm going to be real. Even if dude did fuck Rashawn, I'm going to be completely honest with you. Even if he did fuck Rashawn, how that news came out by her fucking bitter baby daddy or supposedly baby daddy on fucking social media, that's wild as fuck. For that to blow your spot up, that's wild as fuck. We all know the stories about Offset fucking them bitches over in Africa. I seen the tape, nigga.
Wow. That bitch is thick.
But we all know the stories and allegations about Offset cheating on Cardi B and them getting back together and working things out. And now you got Cardi B seeming to be buying into this shit. The reason why it's just so fucked up and the reason why I bring it up on the podcast, bro, I seen a video, a doctored video of fucking, they took old fucking videos of Cardi B and Offset together, like kissing to him, like kissing on her, hugging on her and shit like that. They took the fucking video and did some AI shit with the shit and put Krishan face on it.
Wow.
My nigga, this shit looks so fucking real, dog. And I'm sitting back like, what if all this shit truly is a lie? And what if, like, Cardi B truly bought into this shit? And what if, because, like, I remember, like, when I was a kid, bro, like, I got a scar on my face. And a lot of times people ask me why I got this scar on my face. This scar happened because me and my mama, she was giving me a whooping when I was a child. And her ring caught me on the face. And it was due to some shit that she thought I had did from my school, giving her just some old fucking referrals, acting like it was some new shit. But in my mind, my mama, she pissed off because she thinking I'm steady getting in fucking trouble. I bring it up about Offset because what if nigga Cardi B fed into this shit? Thinking like, nigga, here we go again with this same bullshit. This was a straw that broke the camel's back. Even the thought process of a woman, of her thinking she got to go through that shit again, was enough for her to say, you know what, I'm done with this shit. And when I'm seeing AI videos doctored the fuck up, my nigga, that's scary as a motherfucker, man. That truly is scary. And you got everybody on the internet laughing, talking about the internet is undefeated. the internet is undefeated, all right? Imagine the nigga that the internet is going against. How do you think that nigga's feeling? So it's wild, man. It's a wild motherfucking me time for Offset, man. Free Ja Morant, free Offset, man. Free that nigga Offset, man. Real talk, that shit is truly motherfucking me wild. Them videos are scary. I'm talking about that shit looked like it's straight Offset and Krishan Rock. Like, no bullshit. It like it's straight Offset and Krishan. The only reason why I could tell it wasn't real, because you ain't got the neck tattoos and shit on supposedly Krishan. That's the only reason why you know it's not real, because the timetable and shit don't match up. Like, but everything else, that shit look crazy, my boy. That shit truly look motherfucking me crazy, man. But with that being said, man, yeah, I think that's all we motherfucking me got, man. DJ, drop that fire ass beat, my nigga. Great ass episode, man. Episode 192, man. Thin Line Between Jeans and Insanity. Hosted by yours truly. OG! You know the fuck it is, man. You know, that Offset shit. That Offset shit got me scared, bro. All this facial recognition shit. You know how we be on TikTok and all them apps and shit. We do the old filters and shit. I don't know, man. That shit's starting to get me scared now, but I ain't gonna hold you. With all that being said, man, you know I give up on this side, man. It's all love these ways. Never let them sidetrack with the bullshit. Always keep the main thing the main thing. Stay safe, stay sharp, stay sane. And how it does the episode, man. We out this motherfucker. Peace. Damn. Great ass episode, man. Episode 192, man. Thin line between genius and insanity, man. I wanted to make sure I got this episode in for you guys. Didn't watch a Laker game, so you know it's love. You know I love y'all, man. Got my hoodie on. Had to support my niggas from a distance, man. It was AD versus Wemby for the first time. AD went crazy. AD dunked on that nigga. Wemby did have six blocks, man. It was a good head-to-head battle. I'm finna go watch the highlights right now, man. But I just want to say I truly appreciate everybody that's tapped and joined the conversation, man. I really do. I know these last couple weeks has been a little bit rocky from my standpoint. I'm putting out the episodes, but probably not too engaged on social media with the friends of the show like I was, you know what I'm saying, months past. You know, the holidays, you know, we're working and everything like that. It's just been a little bit rough on your boy, you know, so the whole hate crime situation that happened at my job. It's been a lot going on, you know what I'm saying. December has always been a little bit hard for me just because my father was murdered. You know, it's December 23rd, so I was never really been a Christmas spirit type of person. December's always been a little bit tough for me. We'll get into that a little bit more next episode, but it's a lot going on, man. I just really want to say I appreciate all you guys who, you know, stick with your boy and tap into these episodes and, you know, keep this shit going, man. I truly love y'all. I love all the friends of the show, man. No matter if you're a first-time listener, last-time listener, if you're a day one, come on, man. I love all y'all, man. Y'all truly helped me get through all these wild-ass times in my life, man. No matter if it's me going through depression, anxiety, my mood swings, you know, so me being befuddled by niggas inviting me to freak offs. Like,
wow.
It's a lot, man. It's a lot that goes on in my life. but I love y'all, man. I truly motherfucking me do. Not only me, but my dog as well. His household is only, it's only two motherfuckers in his house, me and my dog. And we truly love y'all because y'all bring peace to this household, man. And, I love y'all, man. I truly motherfucking me do. As we wrap up the grind 200, I want to make sure I put emphasis on how much I love y'all, how much y'all help me in my everyday life, man. So with that being said, I'll holler at y'all when I holler at y'all, man. Peace.
Welcome to Raw is
OG.
Hatch, man, you know the fuck that nigga playing on me, man.
You dig?